We called the police, and it was a bizarre call because I said to the police operator, I don't quite know how to explain this, but I've been accused of being a satanic paedophile, and I've been accused of abusing my daughter in this way. And the police operator said, OK, well, the police are on their way to your house.
Moving towards a terraced house in Hampstead, London, steps lead up to an olive green front door. This is a true story about a lie. A bird's eye view of a leafy residential street.
9 years ago, two small children accused a community of the worst crimes imaginable.
What did they do to you?
They do sex.
They touch each other.
They touch me. They have plastic quillings.
And they have mustache in our bottom.
Their allegations went viral online and were circulated around the world.
Shut up!
A group of parents were accused of abusing their 9-year-old children and their classmates.
The only important job you have in life is to protect your child. And to have a potential threat towards them is a mum's worst nightmare.
We've recorded audio interviews with four mums who've never spoken publicly before.
I think it's such a relief to finally have an opportunity to tell our story.
34-3.
To protect their identities, actors are lip-syncing their words.
You just have this sickening gut feeling of just disgust that someone would think you would do that to your child.
All the voices, messages, and online videos used in this film are real.
You agree on it,
yeah? Stop killing the babies!
Satan!
Stop killing babies!
And we will also meet the conspiracy theorists who pushed the lie.
If you wouldn't believe two children when they tell you something like this, who would you believe?
We are here crying for help. There are children screaming to be heard. If you don't hear of those children scream...
The picture from the day before was of Rosie walking on that pathway to school over Hampstead Heath in the snow. And I had stopped and I had taken a picture of her. And now when I look at that picture, it's like the last final photo of normal primary school life for her and us. And then it all changed.
Accused, the Hampstead paedophile hoax. Mum A, a white woman with dark hair, opens the front door.
Hello, come on in.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thank you very much. How have you been?
Yeah, not so bad. Just recovering from the flu, like lots of people in the country. Yeah. Come on through. Would you like a cup of tea?
Love or a coffee? Cup of tea. So what did happen on the 5th of February 2015?
I'm at work and an email came in from the school.
The email starts, "Dear parents..."
Just kind of said there'd been some allegations made and the school had dealt with it, the police had dealt with it, and it was puzzling. And then up popped on my screen something truly bizarre. And I said out loud about four or five times in a row, "Oh my God."
In 2015, a primary school in Hampstead was at the centre of an internet storm.
I started to Google to find out what the email was referring to, and then I saw the links to the video, and it was two children, Abigail and Joseph, that had been pupils at my daughter's school, and they were describing all of this, like, horrific sex abuse.
The video.
What did they do to you?
They do sex.
They touch each other.
They have plastic quillings.
And they have mustache in our bottom.
Who does? Who sticks it in your mouth?
Farm social services. Everybody. All of them.
Who?
Everybody.
The video's called Killing Babies.
In a series of videos, an 8-year-old boy and his 9-year-old sister made allegations of abuse against their father, teachers, and parents of their classmates.
The first reaction was complete shock. You can't believe that a child saying those things.
The videos had been made whilst the children were on holiday with their mother, Ella Draper, and her new boyfriend, Abraham Christie.
There's a big church in Hampstead, and that's where they go all together and they do sex.
It was just so shocking to take in. What they were saying was that I was coming into school on a Wednesday and abusing my daughter and other children.
What the fuck is going on? What the fuck? What's going on? And that was kind of the first day.
A children's drawing of a smiling family standing under a rainbow.
All of a sudden, they mentioned my daughter's name, and then all of a sudden, they mentioned my name, and they said that I'd been abusing my daughter, myself and my husband. I do remember just really thinking, oh, my God, we've been accused of being paedophiles. This is just, you know, this is bad.
In addition to the allegations of paedophilia, Abigail and Joseph claimed in the videos that the entire school community, led by their father, was involved in satanic ritual abuse.
What happens in the church?
So we killed the baby and eat it, and we dance with the skulls.
You what?
We dance with the skulls in the church.
What skulls?
The skulls of the baby.
So it was one thing to be labelled a paedophile, and then a whole other layer to be labelled a satanic paedophile, and which conjured up all this dark imagery of witchcraft. I couldn't understand how anybody could possibly believe it, but so many people are sharing it. It was very disturbing.
The children's mother, Ella Draper, lived an alternative lifestyle.
Hi, girls. My name is Ella Draper. I'm excited to welcome you and share my experience of face yoga. About how it
helped. She was a raw food vegan, taught Bikram yoga, and for years she had been locked in a custody dispute with the children's father.
Witness statement by Ella Draper from 21st of March 2015.
After the children's videos were uploaded online, an explosive statement from Ella appeared on YouTube.
I believe my children are telling the truth when they describe that their father is the leader of a satanic cult. I also believe that many parents abuse the children at the school as part of a satanic cult.
Babies are supplied from all over the world. They are abused, tortured with rat traps,
injected in the neck, and their necks are cut with a sharp knife held by them.
They buy them, inject them, and send by TNT, DHL service, or the parents bring them from other parts of the world.
Ella's new boyfriend was a man called Abraham Christie, a convicted criminal with links to conspiracy theorists.
They want to make one world religion, Satanism, and they want everybody to bow down to that. So they could take your children, torture your children, rape them, kill them, harvest their organs, drink their blood and eat their flesh.
The Hampstead children's allegations had gone viral, and conspiracy theorists were making videos to spread the story worldwide.
Same thing with Hampstead. They call Hampstead SRA.
Currently in the UK, we have people who are performing satanic rituals. It's downright murder of children.
Teachers, lawyers, solicitors, doctors, social workers. These people are involved in these satanic paedophile cults existing in the UK.
Abigail and Joseph were seen as proof of what they had been saying for years, that the world is controlled by baby-eating satanic paedophiles.
They say it's a hoax. If I was to fucking wanted to create a hoax,
In countless online videos, the conspiracy theorists fixated on rescuing the children of Hampstead from their paedophile parents.
We were just sitting there at home watching this story explode on the World Wide Web. It was global, it was massive. Everybody seemed to be discussing this extraordinary story and wondering who were these child abusers.
Flying over affluent Hampstead.
The police conducted interviews and they searched the school. After finding no evidence of satanic ritual abuse, they closed the case, an outcome which Ella disputed.
I'm very disappointed that the police have failed to do any investigation into the rapes and sodomy by their dad, teachers and head teachers.
Instead, the children were taken into care.
My children were kidnapped and forced into foster care against my wishes. I seek the urgent return of my children.
And then a list of the abusers appears online, and it's our names. It's our kids' names. It's their addresses, telephone numbers, everything is out there. And we all know that is the playdate list that, you know, is generated in every school. I thought, here we've got these extreme accusations, and here we've got all our details. And so then at that point, the penny dropped and it felt really serious.
I remember sitting on the bedroom floor, leaning against the bed, talking to my husband and just saying, this isn't going to go away. This isn't going to go away.
Accused, the Hampstead paedophile hoax.
So before all of this happened, what did you think of Ella Draper, the mother of the two children?
She was a bit odd. She probably wasn't somebody that I would naturally have an affinity with. It was just something about her. I could not get my head around the fact that it was another mother that had made these allegations. It was unbelievable and incomprehensible to me.
Ella Draper had arrived with her two small children a few years earlier and had recently learned that the school community had raised concerns about her parenting.
There were 175 people that Ella had implicated. How could another mother do that to 70 other families?
I just snapped. So I picked up the phone and I phoned Ella and I screamed at her, get my fucking daughter's name off the internet now. And she was like, what? What? I'm sorry, I didn't put your daughter's name up, the police did. I said, why are you fucking lying? Get my fucking daughter's name off the internet now. But by this time, my husband Pete must have heard me screaming and ran in and took the phone off me and hung up.
I got a phone call from Alice and she said, Sarah, you have to call her. I said, whom? And she said, Ella, you have to call her. And I said, sure, I will phone her. She answered the phone and she went like, hey, Sarah, how are you? In this, like, nonchalant way, like, nothing happened. And I said to her, can you please stop the bullshit? Why you did this? That's what I said. She knew exactly what I'm talking about. And she said, it's not me. It's Sabine, this blogger.
A video.
I must say I'm very, very, very tempted to respond to everything I've heard so far, which was shocking in terms of the commission, as far as I'm concerned, because we are here...
After her children were taken into care, Ella appointed Sabine McNeil, an unqualified legal advisor, to help with her case.
And I am speaking on behalf of 1,000 children taken a month in the UK.
A trained computer scientist, Sabine had become obsessed with the idea that social services were stealing children.
We are here
crying for help. There are children screaming to be heard. If you don't hear those children scream, who will?
This woman in her 70s was a stranger to the mums, but would become the key architect in the nightmare ahead of them.
But knowing what I know and not to act on it would be against my conscience. These people don't seem to have a conscience. That's what's happening. That's what we are up against.
What did you in those early days come to understand about this figure of Sabine McNeil?
I really can't say what I want to say, Emily.
Why?
I find it really difficult to find a polite term in which to reference Sabine McNeil. I will never get my head around how this woman became so obsessed with our children. When she came across Ella, it was kind of gold dust to her. I think it completely sort of suited their narrative. The children were crying out about this sexual abuse and the children weren't being believed.
Ella provided Sabine with the school class lists, which she turned into an elaborate document, adding sexual preferences for each child and sharing it with her followers worldwide.
Initially, our list of names came up online, and then a few days later, someone had taken a lot of time to highlight my daughter in red, which was quite concerning, as she had been pinpointed out as being one of the children that liked having sex.
It was an explosion of my world.
Sarah.
These kids like to have sex in the list of the children there. And then the second section. These kids needed to be drugged in order to have sex, basically. And I've seen my daughter name there. And I remember it's like, I never felt like that before.
Mum A put some books on a shelf. She goes up a short staircase to a hallway where she picks up a landline phone from its cradle.
Hello? There were a number of phone calls. Nasty language, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that. You're a Satanist, you're fucking and killing babies, you know, you're evil, you know. I found the calls where they said little more scary.
Alice walks into a bedroom. She sits down in front of a laptop and flips up the screen.
I got an email from someone that said that they liked my daughter's profile on the website where she's highlighted in red, and that they would like me to bring my daughter and meet up with them. So I was getting emails from paedophiles believing what they'd heard about my daughter. I literally ran to the bathroom and threw up everywhere. I think the lowest point for me was when my daughter's photo was taken from my Google account. I blame myself so much because I totally forgot that that account even existed. And the realisation that they know what she looks like. And my world came crashing down because I had nothing left to cling on to at that point. Because I felt all my tools had been removed from me now, from completely keeping us unsafe.
Accused. The Hampstead paedophile hoax. Accused. The Hampstead paedophile hoax. Sarah opens a jar of coffee beans and pours some into a grinder.
They need children. They need children to perpetuate their cult. The abusers who satanically, ritually abused the children and killed and ate babies and drank blood.
Sarah's grinding the beans. Mum B leaves her house and goes down her front steps.
The police had issued me with a panic alarm and we had been advised that we should alter our routes to school, and we deeply feared that, having been alleged to be paedophiles, that we would have paedophile hunters that would come after us. Every morning I used to open my front door and expect to see paedophile sprayed across the front in red.
Walking along, smoking, Alice stares at a phone.
They're like organising in front of your eyes plans of action to save our kids from us. They want to kidnap them. There was a man that said he was a van driver and that he has our details. He knows where the kids are and he could drive up now and come and save them. These are the things I'm reading, and I'm not reading it going, oh, it's okay they don't know where I live, because they do. It's okay they don't know what school my child's going to, because they do.
Angry posts on social media. A sentence underlined in red reads, they do need to be kidnapped.
And it scared the shit out of me. It was like, shit, like, if I'm walking out here with my kids, am I going to try and drag my kid off me?
A post pops up from someone called Tom. It reads, this makes me sick to my stomach. The sick people involved need to be removed from this earth altogether.
The advice from the police and from the school was not to look at this content. There seemed to be this feeling that it would blow over, but it didn't feel like that. It felt that this was something bigger. It felt like it was something organised, targeting us.
In April 2015, conspiracy theorists assembled at the High Court, where Ella's appeal for the custody of her children was being heard, and their videos began to appear on YouTube. Ella gave Sabine the children's original police interviews, which she illegally uploaded online, to keep the world talking about the case.
That one action of Sabine releasing the tapes, it just escalated it.
The video showed the two small children being interviewed by child protection police officers.
Hiya, before we start, I'd just like to tell you everyone who's here and tell you where we are. Is that all right?
The children confidently repeated the allegations.
Okay. So who's they? So Papa and who else?
So all the staff.
All the staff.
All the parents, you know, the parents of all the children. They all know about it.
Okay.
They do it.
Okay.
The death threats just started coming and continued to come.
A barrage of threatening messages.
The man on a YouTube channel was talking about setting us on fire, burning us, that he should get a gun and just come and shoot us. Like, oh my God, like, he's not even trying to hide what he wants to do to us.
Sarah climbs her staircase and goes into a room.
So, this is my children's bedroom. I couldn't let my children sleep in the room by themselves. I was scared that someone will kidnap them or do something really bad to them. So I thought I'd rather sleep like that on the floor, knowing I'm next to them and I can protect them.
Ella's case in the family courts concluded and the judge went public with her damning findings. Ella and her boyfriend were behind the children's lies.
The judgment of notorious High Court judge Anna Puffley was fraudulent.
Ella twisted this verdict to feed into the narrative of the conspiracy.
The cover-up is blatant and is itself yet further evidence, which most disturbingly gives insight into just how deeply the criminally insane sadists are embedded in every British authority.
Mum A is walking her dog on a lead. She arrives home, removes the lead and hangs it up. Audio from two YouTube videos.
They're having to come off their cover up now. And the public are seeing right through transparent.
Conveniently, this justice, this judge, this demonic whore has claimed that there's no basis to these claims at all. They are lying.
Videos of Abigail and Joseph being interviewed.
Can you sit on this one for us? Because the speaker's this thing here. Do you see up here?
Yeah.
So this one's speaking. I think there's another one. Which
with
is
the children
one
now in care, they returned to the brightly lit police room and retracted the allegations.
So I lied about it,
no,
because he made me
see it. There's two things. So first we see, like, let me just be clear. Are babies being killed or not? So they're not.
He made me see it.
Who's he? Who made you say
Abraham.
Away from Ella and Abraham, they appeared comfortable enough to tell the truth.
So, the stuff that happened in the church and the swimming pool at school, did any of that really happen?
No, it was all made up.
It was all made up?
He told me to say that, and I said, why, Abraham, that's not true, though.
Okay, so,
but then he said, yes, that is true, so don't lie. Say that to the police.
Under the gentle guidance of the police officers, they described the real abuse they'd endured.
I heard from the doctor one of your ears is hurt as well.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
It's because he slapped me really hard.
Who slapped you? When did he do that?
In Morocco, when he slapped me. He slapped me as hard as he could.
Abraham wearing glasses.
Abraham Christie had moved into the family home months before the children's allegations went online.
These kids were made to do these videos by their evil mum and boyfriend.
You must have felt for those kids when you read about the torture that they'd undergone.
Heartbroken.
In the days after the judgment, secret recordings emerged, revealing Abraham's relentless coercion of the children.
Who killed the babies?
Papa, hold our hand.
Hold
your
hand? Yeah.
We put our hands.
Yeah. He makes you put your hand. And then he puts your hand.
And then he puts his hand on us, cuts off the baby's head off.
In the safety of the police interview room, Abigail can be seen to speak candidly about Abraham.
Yeah.
I think this is what he does. He believes in lies,
yeah.
Not in truth. He doesn't believe in truth, just lies.
Okay.
When he is holding them to kill the baby with the knife, what about the rest of the people? What do they say?
They say.
Tell me how they say it.
They say, kill, kill, kill.
Say it.
Kill, like kill.
Say it how they say it.
Say it. Kill, 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 like that.
I really distinctly remember being really shocked that he'd actually physically abused them to the level that he did in order for them to make those videos.
What did they say?
Kill the baby, kill the baby, kill the baby.
Thank you.
I just remember feeling so sorry that Abigail and Joseph had to go through that.
Why has your mum let this happen? Why do you think your mum's let him speak?
My mum believes, because she believes in lies too, like okay. Abraham.
And where was she when he kicked you?
She was just like at the front of Abraham.
Okay, and why do you think she let him do it? Did she try and stop it, or...?
No, she never done that. Never.
Why?
Never, ever. She'll never do that.
Why not?
No, because... One is because she loves him so much.
Yeah.
Even with the children stating clearly and repeatedly in the police interviews that it was a lie, Ella stuck to her story.
We appeal to everyone concerned with such a horrific situation to start acting to put an end to these atrocities happening in our society.
Fearing arrest, she and Abraham fled the country and continued to promote the hoax in exile.
For any normal person, a high court judge putting out the truth of the matter should have stopped this in its tracks. But for these people who came with the express belief that this was a conspiracy, this was a cover-up, it actually fanned the flames.
In the days after the High Court judgment, things escalated. People who believed the allegations began arriving in Hampstead.
What are you doing? Why are you taking pictures?
Well, I'm allowed to. The free words. Why are you eating babies? Why are you eating babies? Okay. Well, yeah. You laugh. It's all over the net, isn't it? It's all over the net. Yeah?
Alice twists a diamond ring on her finger while sitting in front of her laptop.
How did it feel as Elizabeth's mum, knowing that these people were all coming to your area to protest?
Petrifying. Because if they're coming to do a protest, where else are they coming? Whose houses are they coming to? Petrifying. Because it's not in your little Alice in Wonderland world now, where it's all make-believe on the internet. It's real. It's on your doorstep. These people are here.
Accused, the Hampstead paedophile hoax, an uploaded video called Sunday Protest, filmed on a residential street. The cameraman says, here's the church, where the vicar lives, the pedo.
The pedo?
If they don't allow the general populace to express themselves via legitimate channels, the people will take to the streets.
Hello, Internet. For the past week, I've avoided clicking on this story as I've seen it while scrolling through my Facebook feed. What is going on? Why is this happening? Furthermore, why aren't we kicking down the doors to the schools, the churches?
Days after the High Court judge claimed anyone who pushed the hoax was evil or foolish, the conspiracy theorists reacted furiously.
Here's our biggest media who cut off children's babies' heads and fuck us and murder us, and you want me to not hear?
There were a group of 20 to 30 people who every Sunday morning would come and stand outside the church and hurl abuse at the parishioners.
Listen to the children! Don't tell the children to shut up! Listen to the children! Hampstead! Christchurch.com! Hampstead! Christchurch.com!
Have you heard about that satanic...
No, I haven't.
...in your church?
You're involved in it, aren't you?
Kids, mate. Have you heard?
No,
you agree on it,
stop
yeah?
Stop killing the babies!
Satan!
Stop killing babies!
Yeah.
You Lucifer.
She got a smile on her face.
Stop killing babies.
She's got a smile
babies.
On her face.
You like it? You like
Satanist.
Getting sex with all children,
do you? Don't want Satanists on this planet.
No.
The conspiracy theorists' online videos became more threatening.
See, this is what everybody is missing, is a little bit of fucking muscle, okay? You can't put yourself out there without a little bit of fucking muscle behind you.
A video titled Second Statement from the Mother.
I would like to remind everyone that all the children from the so-called special families, all the teachers, and a lot of the parents have devil tattoos on their private parts.
So in the initial allegations, it was said that all members of the cult have genital tattoos. And this became quite an exciting topic for a number of these people.
If the children's description of your distinguishing marks on your pubenda
is false, and it's false, then can I come forward and be checked by the doctors, huh?
Anybody would do that, particularly if they were innocent.
And there was lots of comment about lynch mobs coming to find us and check us out. It felt like the sort of the modern world and the internet meets the sort of medieval witch hunt.
Mum B checks her rearview mirror as she drives along in her car.
The police had been struggling to find a charge that they could use. They pretty much admitted
that it was beyond their knowledge and that the law didn't really exist to keep up with internet crimes of this nature. They were out of their depth.
Alice.
It was very clear, really early on, that the police thought this was going to go away, so they weren't really interested. So what option does that leave you? You're on your own.
Outside a house, Mum A puts a rubbish bag in a wheelie bin. She then folds her arms and looks around nervously.
Ness left us so low about, well, you know, what do we do?
Mum B's unpacking her shopping. Then she's on a desktop computer.
The police kept telling us that we would never get the CPS to back a charge of harassment. And we just felt that that was unacceptable. I think it was at that point that we realised that we needed to continue to fight.
Hampstead! Christchurch.com!
I'm not a victim, I never have been. And the way to fight back is to be online, and you need to be in their world and down their rabbit hole.
Alice went undercover online, creating numerous alter egos and spending hours a day infiltrating conspiracy theory groups.
You need to start learning to think how they think. Set up accounts to watch them. Have accounts where they're my friends.
She joined forces with a group of people questioning the hoax. Together, they started a blog dedicated to exposing the lies.
There was another group that were fighting back. They were really standing up for everyone that had been alleged to be abusers. In the depths of depression, that felt there was some hope.
The blog's called Hoaxstead Research. Mum B lays some ring binders on her bed and opens one.
This is just one of the files, which is an example of the level of harassment that we were receiving and the screenshots that I printed out.
The mums believed 18 separate laws had been broken, but the authorities informed them there was no public interest in prosecuting their case.
My goal was to get as much on all of these people as possible and get as much evidence and let the other parents know what's going on.
By day, the mums were working, but by night, fueled by the information fed to them by Alice and her online group, they became their own crack team of detectives, mapping the conspiracy network, pushing the lies.
Sarah jabs a standing punch bag in her living room.
There were people that were prolific in what was happening, what was coming onto the internet, what was being organised. And I guess it was a case of being able to collect the evidence and prove to the police that this was an organised campaign.
And beg them to do something about it.
I mean, we were drowning in material.
The stories we hear from David Icke and Alex Jones have to do with human sacrifice and child rape. We've seen brave people...
I first became aware of Rupert Wilson Quaintance by his own videos that he was posting.
Why aren't we kicking down the doors to the schools, the churches? Nobody else wants to do it. I'll go do it. I'll go over there myself. Give me a team of people, anybody. Let's just ride over to Hempstead and kick down doors and get some blood samples and try to find out if what these kids are saying is true.
There he is on his video saying he's going to come to the UK, kick down our doors and take blood samples from us. So scary, yeah. Worrying, yeah.
I've seen these British dudes try to fucking arrest people. I'll fucking box their fucking ears. I'm small, but I'm scrappy, and I don't go down easy. You can't fuck with me. You can't fuck with me.
In 2016, Rupert created a fundraising page for his trip to London to investigate the cult. He claimed to have raised thousands of dollars.
I like it the way it's coming into you, $20, $100, $50. Every person that invests in that, they're investing in the children, in my opinion. You don't need $2,000.
It wasn't just outlandish videos Rupert was creating in 2016. He detailed exactly how he was going to confront the people in the story.
I was preparing for him to come. So I was putting dumbbells in my bag to make it heavier. If I seen him outside school being a threat, I will act.
What do you mean you will act?
I will take him down.
I've already started planning everything. I've started talking to people about where certain stuff will be stashed and what I'm getting rid of and all that.
Rupert's videos were becoming more intimidating.
If you stick your head above the parapet and say, I'm going to help, they will come after you.
Dude, what are they gonna, what are they gonna do, though? If they don't have guns, they're gonna have a hard fucking time arresting me.
Rupert's doing neck exercises in preparation for an interview. Accused, the Hampstead paedophile hoax.
Furthermore, why aren't we kicking down the doors to the schools and churches? If nobody else wants to do it, I'll go do it. I'll go over there myself. Give me a team of people, anybody.
18 months after the videos were released, Rupert Wilson Quaintance, an American living more than 3,000 miles away, claimed to have raised thousands of dollars to investigate the satanic cult operating out of the primary school.
He is raising money to get here, to kick our doors down and take our kids' blood, to see if we were drugging our children. So he became quickly a threat. So he became quickly a friend.
In September 2016, Rupert boarded a plane and arrived in London.
As he became my friend on social media, I was able to watch every single thing he did. The minute he landed in the UK.
Rupert arrived at the gates of the primary school on the first day of term, claiming to have a knife in his pocket.
Not a faceless, anonymous internet warrior, but a real person who's gotten on a plane for the sole purpose of coming to investigate whether we're satanically sexually abusing our children. But then the next video is him standing in front of the primary school and he's there. Are we dealing with our worst nightmare? Are we finally going to have to deal with the person that is crazy enough to come and be violent?
To Alice.
What's your thinking at this point?
I'm gonna fucking nail you. That's it. That is it. You wanna come to my house, kick my door down, take my blood? Good luck with that. But first of all, I need to know where you are because you are getting arrested. Because this is not a game. This is my life.
Alice and her online group tracked Rupert down to an address in South London, which they sent to the police, and he was arrested.
So this is September that you're arrested, I think.
The 13th. And one of the things that scared me was because these children had said police were involved in this. When I was handcuffed, that terrified me to death. I didn't know where they were taking me, and I didn't know who they were.
You said that what you were going to do was kick down doors and take blood.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. It's not what I didn't mean that literally. Like I said, I meant have a forensic investigation and be serious about it. That's what I should have said. Well, as we've all
heard, David Icke and Alex, you came over to the UK to come and find out about this thing, and I guess I'm just trying to understand what your motivation is to have done that.
I wanted to verify that this was a physical, actual place with my own eyes. That is it.
What would that have proved to you?
What do you mean?
Why did you want to just find out if it was a real place?
Well, why does anybody go see the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
So it was a tourist destination?
Yeah, it totally. That's where this went down. I mean, this is like, it's demented. It's weird, but, you know, it's not like going to Graceland and learn how Elvis lived.
Because you set yourself up as an investigative journalist, so I'm just interested in the kind of journalism. But actually, it sounds like it's tourism.
That's a hell of an accusation. What are you doing here? You're all the way over here doing the same thing I did. Only you're doing it in the safety and comfort of a place that doesn't lock you up for speaking your mind. Yeah, I don't think you should. That's not nice.
Coming forward, telling their story, the following clips are
based on the mountains of evidence, gathered by the mums, Rupert was found guilty of harassment and he was sentenced to 9 months in prison.
How was prison?
It's prison. It's terrifying. Some of the things you hear. I mean, have you ever heard a man screaming in terror into an echoey Victorian prison wing? But the first thing I thought when the door slammed shut is like, those people were doing that shit.
These children were having problems, and the mother asked them what the problem was, and when they told her what the problem
was... I've met the mums who were the victims in your case, and they're just like normal people.
They seemed like that to me as well. Completely. All the ones that I saw in court, yeah, I felt bad about it. When they were saying the things that they said, yeah, of course I felt bad about it. But I don't know them. There was never... How can you say I'm targeting you if I don't use your name? You're volunteering yourself to feel frightened. The most embarrassing and awful thing for me in all of this would have been to be completely ignored. And that's exactly what they should have done.
Mum B's on her computer at night.
It was just relentless, you know. It was just firefighting the whole time. And it's a bit like the adrenaline keeps you going. You're getting very little sleep for years and sometimes just having a couple of hours kip on the sofa. Probably looking at too much, if I'm honest, and that was healthy for me, really.
Alice smokes a cigarette as she studies a photo of Sabine.
Well, I went from being really, really sociable to not engaging and only talking about this. That was as far. If you weren't engaging with me with what was going on with this, I just wouldn't bother.
Steam rises from a running bubble bath. Sarah.
I got obsessive. Obsessed with just stopping it.
The bath is overflowing. Mum B lays printed documents on her bed until they're almost covering it completely.
Was it ever an option for you to just close the computer and walk away and not look at it all?
No. No, and people may question that. People may feel that, you know, would have been the thing to do. But there was a risk. There was a palpable risk. And the only way that we could keep on top of that risk was to keep looking and to keep watching the internet to see what people were saying. Because if we weren't watching, nobody else was.
So, guys, we're really happy to have you. Ella and Abraham, thanks for joining us. And to start, can you tell us all how you're doing and what's going on?
We're fine. We're fighting for the children.
And we're learning new information every day.
Abraham and Ella, living in hiding in Spain, continued to post online about the case and promoted their campaign to regain custody of the children.
And this is why Sabine has so much clout, as far as I'm concerned, because she signs a life on the child snatching, on the institutionalized child snatching.
That's right.
Because they need children. They need children to maintain, to continue to perpetuate their cult.
The CPS had decided not to prosecute Sabine, even though she was continuing to push the hoax in her online videos.
I mean, let's face it, if they were ever so innocent, they wouldn't have to do what they are doing, right?
No, it's this is what I'm saying. Everything they're doing is giving us more evidence.
Well, and in my view, the cover-up is sort of evidence as well. Every effect, action of cover-up, it corroborates the original crimes. That's what I'm saying.
Sabine posts a message saying children are being gang raped.
Sabine was using her platform in the EU and through multiple websites to push herself as a respectable figure.
Sabine McNeil has no empathy or any kind of emotion to anyone but herself. She is a miserable adult that lives in a fantasy land. She thought that Hampstead families will be too scared to go against her. She actually thought we'd be too scared. But I knew the only way to stop it is to stop her. Never ever underestimate the other side.
The mums were tracking Sabine's every move. Using the victim's right to review, they demanded the CPS reopen their case, and the decision was made to prosecute.
Now, I've got a friend's request from Sabine, so I'm in her Facebook now.
Oh, well done.
She added me. This is the joys about nut jobs, right? The first thing I did this morning was wake up and go, oh, I've got a new friend. And she is blogging the hamster shit like...
This is Sabine.
Yeah, like nobody's business.
Sabine continued to release provocative videos.
We should find good guys in the police who would be willing to go over and kidnap, in quotes, the children back to the back again out of the hands of the bad guys.
In an interview, Sabine dabs her eyes with a tissue.
Why is it you felt so compelled to act on behalf of those children? It must have been a difficult experience to...
Emily, when somebody cries for help and is nearly sinking, then you try to get them out of wherever they're in, don't you?
Accused, the Hampstead paedophile hoax.
Can you describe what satanic ritual abuse is for someone that doesn't understand that term?
I can only go by what the children described, both together and independently of each other. And that, to me, was great validation. I mean, just crimes against children, abuse, sexual abuse. And the big thing about the Hampstead children is that for the first time, there were children who reported until then it had only been adult survivors.
Prosecuting barrister Miranda Moore, KC.
When I came into the case, which was in 2018, this had already been going on for 3-4 years. And so I wasn't as immersed in the day-to-day horror of it as the mothers. They'd sort of gone down this rabbit hole and they were trying to claw their way out.
Did that make them quite an unusual set of victims to work with?
In a way, you didn't really want to call them victims, although they were. They were tough. They were warriors, is the word I've used.
Videos were being uploaded where Sabine was cementing her plans to keep pushing the hoax.
You have to decide moment by moment, is this the moment to walk away or is this the moment to stand?
Good point. You are really, 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 really wise, Angie. Well, that means reopening my blogs again.
In 2016, a judge looking into the Hampstead case handed Sabine a restraining order.
This was a stalking case so unusual. The judge was so appalled by her behaviour and the behaviour of others that he imposed a restraining order. Effectively, don't do this. And if you do it, you stand a very good chance of going to jail. Within 7 to 10 days, Sabine McNeil had breached it. She lived this case. She just wouldn't stop.
Footage of her in court.
After multiple arrests and breaches of her restraining order against the mums, Sabine McNeil was convicted and named by the judge as the UK's worst troll.
I think the long prison sentence was definitely a big message sent to these people.
How did that feel when she got there?
She fucking deserved it.
This was a huge sentence for someone of her age, with her background, on an offence of stalking. But this had to be dealt with as severely as some of the worst sorts of physical abuse, because emotional abuse of those mums was horrendous.
It was quite something to actually hear the words that she'd been found guilty.
It was an immense landmark because it took... It took a lot of hard work and emotion and effort and fighting to even get her to that point of being in court. So that was a really powerful moment. Mm-hmm.
Stop.
No. It's taken 8 years.
to talk or to get upset or?
Yeah, I suppose to get upset, you know. I think, you know, I just get on with it. I've always just got on with it. I think it's probably quite cathartic to sort of let it go.
In a landmark conviction, on the strength of the mum's evidence, Sabine was sentenced to 9 years in prison, of which she served 4.
Do you accept the verdict that was given to you?
I didn't accept any of the charges. I didn't accept the verdict. I cannot accept the verdict. All I can do is suffer. Suffer it, like Jesus Christ did. 4 of the 175 named abusers acted as the victims of being harassed by my campaign, even though I never, never, ever contacted anybody personally. And I don't know who did I? I just published what I published. And
so
I never
didn't
even
take any responsibility for them having been harassed for the 4 mothers.
Not exactly without their innocence being established. Wouldn't that be nice if somebody had first of all checked whether the accusations of the children, whether they had, wouldn't that be nice if that had been taken seriously first?
Mum B polishes 2 wine glasses before setting them down on her dining table. Mum A applies face cream while staring into a mirror in a dressing gown.
In terms of my mental health, I think there's some deep harm there.
Alice leans over her bathroom sink and splashes water in her face.
To be exposed to that level of evil, quite frankly, relentlessly, I certainly feel I've been affected by that. It's taken some years to get a bit of peace back into my life. It's affected my belief in goodness in the world. And then I think now I'm a bit of a recluse, to be honest.
Mum B's laying the table for a family dinner.
From who I was the day before this happened to who I was the day that this happened are 2 completely different people. I've never gone back to who I was before this.
Alice studies her face in her bathroom mirror. At night, Mum A goes down her stairs and approaches her front door. She locks and bolts it. Sarah.
As a married couple, I was not sleeping in our bedroom. I was sleeping on the kids' floor.
So you kind of neglected your marriage?
Yeah, in a way, yes, I did. It's a massive cost.
If you look backwards, you can see how it's affected, in a way.
Tell me.
Because he was not relevant anymore as well.
A framed photo of her and her husband embraced. Having finished laying the table, Mum B looks it over and nods. Sarah's sitting on her sofa.
So what impact has this had on your life, this case?
You wake up and you realise you're not yourself anymore.
The 4 mums alone in their houses, all of them deep in thought. Mum A removes her makeup while Mum B sits alone at her dining table. Alice looks in a mirror and sighs. Sabine being interviewed.
So the four mothers at the centre who brought the charges against you, they were named as abusers and their children were named, and their children were named as having liked sex and been part of sex acts, as being part of the cult, on a list that you published. And they were contacted themselves by paedophiles who wanted to meet them. They were sent photos of guns. People would knock on their door to try and find them.
Sorry, I can't cope with that. I can't.
Tell me, why can't you cope with that? Because they had to live with that, the consequences of that.
Sabine takes a deep breath and looks away uncomfortably.
Their children's lives were changed forever by the publishing of their details and their materials.
I think their lives were changed forever through their abuse beforehand.
But they aren't child abusers, these mums.
They're loving mums. Oh, they are not. They are. No. Oh, yes. What makes you think that?
I've spent a lot of time with them, getting to know them and
have you?
Their stories, yeah.
I see.
What? How do you know that they're child abusers? How have you established that?
No, I have not.
But you just said to me they are child abusers.
Well, they were named, that was all. But not by me.
No, by two children who'd been tortured themselves into making these allegations by a man called Abraham Christie, who in the 1990s abused other children into making allegations against their own father. The children themselves said that this never happened. The children at the centre.
I'm sorry, Emily.
Why are you sorry?
I can't cope with that. I cannot cope with that. I hurt deeply.
I think there's a lot of hurt in this story. It's a very sad...
That's exactly right.
A photo of Abraham in sunglasses.
In 2022, through posts on social media, Abraham Christie's dark past was revealed. In a previous relationship in the 90s, Abraham physically abused three small children into alleging their own father was a paedophile.
I've spoken to Abraham Christie's former stepfamily and they've told me that this has happened before. The pattern's exactly the same as with Abigail and Joseph.
He's a child abuser and he should be bloody jailed. He really should be. It's just unforgivable that he hasn't been dealt with. It's very clear from everything I've read and understood that Abraham Christie is just a monster.
I think he likes to control the women and the children, the more vulnerable people that come into his life. And we all just became collateral damage. I think when Abraham and Sabine ended up sort of coming together, it was the perfect storm.
To Alice.
Do you worry about the world more than you did then? Like, are you worried about...
Petrifies me. The internet has become a brainwashed world. It's not healthy in any shape or form. It really isn't. I don't think it's going to bring any good to our kids.
I think this story has bigger ramifications about the truth, about whether truth matters.
Well, we know that it's very, very individual experience and...
For some people, truth is an objective thing. So I'm interested in your.
No, what's true for me is may not be true for you. That's why it's an individual experience. Carl Gustav Jung was asked whether he believes in God. He said he doesn't believe. He knows. That's what truth is.
That's interesting for me. Go to the very heart of what's so intriguing about this case. I think is that very question. It's about believing and knowing.
Yeah.
And it's a very powerful thing to believe something is true.
Yeah, we clearly have emotions and the emotional need to believe as well. I mean, the people wouldn't believe in all of these cult things if they didn't have that same need as others who believe in goodness.
It's downright murder of children, sexual, physical, emotional abuse of children. But this is all stems from a paedophile.
What does it say about us as a society that truth doesn't seem to matter? I find that really terrifying.
Alice is lying on her bed, listening to a video on her phone through a pair of wireless headphones.
And you're in these conspiracy theory groups still under this assumed identity?
Yeah. And we're all friends. All of us.
Can you understand why that's a strange concept for someone?
No. No. No, because when you've watched them for 5 years and seen how persistent, how fucking persistent these people are, how they're not going away, how they're mentally unhinged, and how they are obsessed with this story and are obsessed with protecting your child and saving your child. No. There's no shutting a book on this story.
So actually, Sabine going to prison wasn't the happy ending to this story?
Not for me, no. So me shutting those accounts down would be stupid. Because you're dealing with people that won't let it go.
Abraham, Ella and their supporters continue to promote the story of the Hampstead satanic cult online. The police investigation into the abuse against Abigail and Joseph was reopened in 2022. Both Ella and Abraham remain on the run. Abraham denies the allegations of abuse made by his stepchildren. Ella's children, Abigail and Joseph, continue to state that the story is a hoax and that neither they nor their classmates were sexually abused. The Hampstead mums helped to collect almost 750,000 digital exhibits of harassment against them while holding down jobs and family lives. Their children can now enter adulthood without sexual content related to their names being available online.